welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. It's a special Christmas edition today. I'm recording on my own, doing a bit of pre-recording, so you've got something to listen to over the Christmas holidays. First up today, Helen's managed to get an interview with Nikki Bartlett, so it's an update from her. We've got about 15 minutes worth of her talking about what she's been up to over the last month. So without any further ado, I'm going to hand you over to Helen's interview with Nikki Bartlett.
Nikki Bartlett, welcome back to the podcast. How the devil are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Where on planet Earth are you at the moment?
It's the 12th today. So I got back to Cheltenham last night, spending some time here at Christmas, a couple of weeks here. So it was nice to be down south for a bit and kind of catch up with people, catch up with some sponsors. I've got a really new exciting spot coming on board, which I can't say yet, but... Yeah, so kind of come down, go down and see Rob and Susie, do some more bike setting at work for starting the new year with. Kind of just, yeah, catching up and seeing the family, ready to start the new year.
And how much snow did you leave behind up in Scotland?
Well, true fact, it's literally been so cold it couldn't snow. So when I left on Monday, we went for a long run in the morning, and it wasn't particularly early. It was seven, we left at seven, so it wasn't an early run. It was -8. Like, I know. So yeah, the good thing about that, there wasn't many ice patches. So, and then when I came back to Cheltenham, it was like a sheet of ice, so it's like one extreme to the other. But yeah, -8 is probably the coldest I've ever run in, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I had a scarf up to like your nose, and then like I even wanted like sunglasses on just to protect my eyes. But then you'd breathe into the scarf, and it would just like straight away turn into ice. Like, well, that's pointless. Take that off.
I had exactly the same in Canada last winter. We went for a little run, and like I think it was -25, and
That's put -8 to shame.
Yep, but it was similar. But then you still sweat in that temperature, so you've got to be really careful, because then if that sweat does freeze, you're kind of in a little bit of trouble there.
Yeah, I know. I took mine off, to be honest. Within 10 minutes, I was like, God, why is it so heavy? And I'm like, what? And it's hurting me. And I was like, oh, it's just turned to ice.
It's literally frozen solid.
I know.
And I guess, do you go out on your bike, or when it gets so, so cold, do you spend the time on the turbo?
I just look at and be like, what is going to be effective? I mean, I'm not going to risk ice. Like, I just don't see the point. Like, what is the point? If I came off, I'd kick myself. So if it's any risk of ice, I don't bother. And I've learned my lesson from that before. When I first moved to Scotland, I was like, oh, I think the ice melted. You go around a corner where there's been shade, black ice, and you're off. So yeah, if there's any risk of ice, I'm on turbo. If it's -8 and I'm like, can I even finish the session? Then I'm on the turbo if I'm questioning it. And also, it depends what the session is. If it's speed focused, I can't push power if I'm that cold. And I know, like, for certain race conditions, you need to practice in those conditions. And I'm not planning on racing in minus conditions, so I don't need to go and practice in those conditions. So yeah, it depends on the session, if there's a risk involved. And to be honest, I really do like the turbo as a training tool. It's not because I have to go on the turbo, which I've always learned from my rowing days, like the ergo was part of training. It was just part of, you know, it could be absolutely still glass water on outside, but the session is an ergo, so that's the session. So turbos are brilliant through the winter. I think people need to kind of switch the mindset of kind of hating the turbo and actually using it as a training tool.
I think that's really sound advice, because I remember the first couple of seasons I really hated the turbo, and then I genuinely grew to love it, because you do feel like, you just feel like you're getting bang for buck, whatever.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, there's no kind of free spinning mode, you know, the numbers are on your face, you know, if you're riding crap, it's telling you. And if you need motivation, there's plenty of kind of, I don't know of kind of Swift, or I haven't been on one, or if you need motivation, there's those kind of things to look at, and power for me is enough to kind of motivate me. I actually use Bex's old turbo, which is 12 years old. It's got rust everywhere, but that's enough for me, so that's fine. But if you're looking for extra motivation, there are other options out there. I've heard Swift is very popular and is a good tool if people are looking. But for me, Power, and it depends what the session is, but if I find, catch up, I've caught up on First Dates today whilst trying to do my session, which I actually can't remember any of because the session was really hard. I looked at it and I was like, it shouldn't be too bad. I can try and get away with watching First Dates, but it didn't really happen.
Guilty pleasures on the turbo. I have a friend who watches Home and Away.
Oh, brilliant. I know, I'm not very good at TV programmes and I've got a really bad attention span, so there's not many things I watch really, but First Dates is, I love it.
And I remember speaking to you previously and you actually do quite a bit of running on the treadmill as well, don't you? And is that a year-round thing, a bit like you were saying the turbo, if you have a turbo session to do, there's a reason for it. Is that the same as a treadmill?
Yeah, totally. I love the treadmill. I haven't actually been on the treadmill yet, but I do have my first treadmill session tomorrow, so that should be a short session. I can't remember last, because obviously obviously in Kona, so I haven't been on it before. So I haven't been on it for a few months, so I'm actually looking forward to getting back on it. And
that's a good sign, isn't it? If you're looking forward to getting back on it, that's a good sign.
Yeah, which is weird. Most people will be like, what is she on about? But yeah, the treadmill's a training tool again, and I do enjoy, you get on with it. There's no, but the wind was pushing me in this direction or anything, and you do need to practice obviously in the wind and that kind of stuff, but the treadmill's brilliant training tool. I really recommend the treadmill and turbo. Kind of, you just need to switch your mindset of, it's not because you have to be on it, it's because it's going to improve you.
Correct, and it's a training session. So Nikki, how does Christmas look for you? Obviously you are a professional triathlete, but equally it is Christmas. Will you be training on Christmas Day first of all?
I love training, so if someone said to me, I don't want you to train on Christmas Day, I'd be like, oh, well, that's annoying. But I'm not going to obviously take a full day, but equally my family like to sleep in a bit longer than I do, so I can get it done before anyone's awake anyway. I think I did hill reps this time last year. I don't know, something short and sweet. I don't know. I definitely want to get out and do something for sure.
It, isn't there? There's something about training on Christmas Day. Like, not necessarily training, but just getting outside and doing something on Christmas Day.
Yeah. Even if you just go out and just do, 5-minute easy jog and do, 1 minute on, 1 minute off, and just go out for, 30 minutes. It doesn't have to disrupt the day at all. And but that's only if you want to. But I don't know. I'd be twiddling my thumbs all day if I wasn't going to go and get out. Actually, my parents would be pretty annoyed if I had that much energy on Christmas Day, so they'd be like, just go and expend some energy.
And then generally over the Christmas period, there's a lot of different food on offer, that sort of a thing.
Yes.
How do you approach that?
I'm not going to deprive myself, but I'm obviously not going to be it's kind of like the same when you kind of go before a race and you kind of prepare yourself for a race. I'm not going to overindulge because it's before a race. I think that's the worst thing you can do. I'm not going to deprive myself. As soon as you're into the year and everything's becoming a bit more strict, so you just got to kind of enjoy yourself and not take life too seriously at this time of year. I mean, it is only December still, and if for most people their main races are June, July onwards, or so you don't have to be serious yet.
Will you have seconds for Christmas? Will you have seconds?
Oh yeah, always. I love ham hock on Christmas Day, but then once I've had that, I'm like, oh, but I want to taste everyone else's meat, so kind of go back and get some more. And pudding belly is separate to main course belly, so it's
correct. Always room. Always room, always room. Are you going to be doing any UK races next year? I was thinking specifically Staffordshire and Bolton, because both have announced course changes. You've done them both. What do you think about the alterations?
Well, I definitely want to do Staffs. I mean, it's the first. It was my first pro race in 2015, and I came sixth. And then 2016, I came third. And then 2017, I came second. So it would be a bit rude not to try and go for improve. on my positions. And plus, I just love it. I love the South's a brilliant race in terms of support. And it's literally 90-minute drive from my parents' house, so it's literally up the road. So you don't have that many opportunities where a race is up the road from you. And it's one where my family, like loads of my family, there's usually about 15 of us there, and it's and that in itself is pretty special. Like it just it forces all the family and friends to come together for that one day. So yeah, I definitely want to do Staffs. I'm not sure about Bolton. I haven't thought too far beyond Ironman South Africa. And a lot might depend on how that goes. So yeah, I want to do Wales, but I just don't know how it's going to fit. But I'm really missed not doing that this year.
Really?
Yeah, even in those conditions, I was like, oh, they'd suit me down to the ground. So I don't actually mind about the weather because, you know, 9 times out of 10, you kind of get caught in that weather anyway when you're training. But no, not that, that was pretty bad. I think you probably had one of the worst days.
Yeah, pleasant.
It just makes it even more hardcore, even more rewarding. So yeah, I was when I was following the race, I was like, I'm so gutted I'm not there. So I want to make that happen somehow. But to be honest, I've got so many races written down where what I want to do. I think at one point Rob was like, you do realise you've written 3 70.3s down on the trot. And I was like, I know. I think there's even 4 at one point, and I was like, oh, which one can I jot out? And Rob's like, maybe 2.
Will you be doing a 70.3 before you do Ironman South Africa?
I think now thanks to this new sponsor coming on board, I'll be able to financially afford to do one, which is brilliant. Because I want to. I'm already kind of, even though I'm not fit, I'm already thinking, oh, I want to race soon. So yeah, I would like to look at doing one before, if not just mixing it up with some kind of 10k 10 mile road trail races. Maybe not trail because I'm clumsy, but I'd probably try. So yeah, like I'm going down to Rob's next week, so we'll sit down and have a chat. I'd like there is one 70.3 I'd like to try and make work between now and South Africa. So we'll see if we can make it work with. But we also don't want to rush getting back into training. It's always a long year. And sometimes you don't realise how long the year is until you're in the middle of it. Yeah. So and April to October we managed it really well this year and had a good mid-season break. So I didn't even, like, by Kona, I wasn't particularly like, oh, I need my season to end. And we might look at racing a bit further on this year in like November, so we're just going to see how things go. Like I've got touch wood. I'm actually going to go and touch wood.
We're touching it right here.
I've got the niggle, so we'll just see. Maybe just we might even enter late, like if because everything's progressing nicely, and you know, as soon as you put a race in the calendar, sometimes you're like, oh wow, we've got a race soon, so we need to progress quick. You know, you need to perhaps be doing 2 run sessions a week, or you know, I don't want to suddenly be like, I need to up the load because I'm racing. So I think if we did put a plan in, we'd still stick to a very slow progression and make sure kind of ticking all the right boxes.
Yeah, and that obviously worked for you last year. And when we caught up with you, what, 3 4 weeks ago, you said that you were about to, had you just started your hard sort of 3 week block, or were you about to, or something like that? How have those, that little time gone?
I'm not really sure. I'm not going to call it too hard. I mean, I'm working really nicely on my bike at the moment. And I'm in a good place already somehow. But this time last year, I didn't have power or a time trial bike. So it was actually nice. I'm doing this my first winter block properly on a TT bike with power. I'm reaping the rewards already, I feel. I mean, the tough sessions, and sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I'm not sure if I can, you know, maybe manage that, but it's going well. So I'm on a bit of a bike focus at the moment. I mean, I didn't really lay off too much on my swim. I tried to keep 4 to 5 swims a week, and now I'm on 5 swims every week with the main focus on 2 to 3 of them being really hard and supporting it with technique and kind of long endurance reps. And that's taken some getting used to, if I'm honest, because I've just joined a group and, you know, one of the, if not the weakest swimmer, and some of these people are literally they swim so fast. I'm just like, can't get my head around how fast they swim. So I'm finding my easy swims at the moment not that easy. So yeah, it's getting some used to, and then kind of when you're putting the bike work in as well, it's just, yeah, it's going to take some time. And then I'm working on gym work 3 times a week, making sure that's going well and kind of strengthening the right areas. But yeah, it's this time of year where you just kind of like, right, who's going to come and join me in the gym? Who's going to make this fun? Because I just, it's always the session you're like, oh, I'm too tired or whatever. It's always the session you think, I'll miss that session, but it's so important. So it's just like, right, who can join me? And actually, we've got a nice little group that it's actually quite fun. I actually don't mind and enjoy going to the gym, to do gym. Well, yeah, I've always, when I was rowing, I was like, oh, gym. But we used to do it quite a few times a week when we were rowing, but I've never really been enthused by it.
But you're slowly getting it.
Yeah, it's, we're making it fun, and you know, we just laugh, and some people can't stay on the Swiss wall for that long, so it's a bit funny when they just fly off. And we were doing walking clams down the gym. I think there's 4 of us at the same time, and this one woman just like burst up. She's like, I'm so sorry, but that's just made my day. But we were just like taking a mick out of ourselves, but we're putting the work in and having a laugh, so it's all good.
Entertainment service as well as getting the work done.
Yeah,
yeah. Love it.
Time of year. I mean, you've got to mix it up.
Nikki, great to catch up again. Have a wonderful Christmas, and we will speak in the new year.
Awesome. Thanks, Helen.
And next up, we decided what we were going to do for these couple of weeks over Christmas was we were going to pick our favourite interview each from the year and then replay them for you. So Hels has picked the interview that she did with Meredith Kessler from back in February. Brilliant interview. If you haven't heard it, it's a treat. If you have heard it before, well, tune in again and listen to Meredith, who at the time was just lining up to complete her 60th Ironman distance race, if you can believe that. So here we are, Helen's interview with Meredith Kessler.
Meredith Kessler, hello and welcome to the Oxygen Addict Triathlon Podcast. How are you?
Helen, I am doing very well, and I so appreciate being a part of this. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. Meredith, Ironman New Zealand is going to be Ironman number 60. What the heck keeps you going for that long?
I think, honestly, Helen, I might have a screw loose in my brain, and I just, you know, I caught the Ironman bug. Let's see, I'm 38, and back when I was 21, I caught that bug. I think I used my college graduation money to purchase my first tri bike and then slapped myself in an Ironman distance as my first triathlon about 2 weeks later. And as painful as that was, and I've said this many times because the joke of that is that I did that. I think I was on my bike 8 hours for that Ironman in running shorts because I missed the memo that you apparently need to wear this thing called spandex. And it was so painful. But as painful as that was and like learning of that, I caught the Ironman bug, and here we are, you know, 17, 18 years later almost. And, we're at number 60. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's pretty impressive because especially in a sport that takes so much out of you physically and mentally, and you look around at say footballers or swimmers or, mm-hmm. you know, swimmers are retiring early 20s, yeah. something like that. It's pretty impressive to keep going.
It is, you know, I found in the sport, and hey, listen, back when I was 21 to probably 30, I could hammer out 6 Ironmans a year, like, yeah, no problem. And as I have more birthdays, I'm like, the dwindling number of Ironmans per year, understandably, it goes down, just because it's, as you know, it's much harder to recover from a full than it is a half. But yeah, I just feel like now as I get older, I feel like this sport, we really, just like you said, swimming, people hit their prime more in their 20s. And for our sport, I genuinely believe that we hit our prime between like 30 and 45. I mean it, which is scary considering like Rife is only 29. She's not even in her prime yet, or Holly Lawrence, or all those great gals that are in their 20s and they're already crushing it. Seriously, just wait until they're in their mid-30s. They're going to be crushing it even more. So I will hopefully, by the point time they hit their mid-30s, I will be well retired and eating like ice cream on the couch, or you know what I mean. But yes, it's really physical in that way. But also, as I get older, I've learned the mental side now is what helps drive.
That is absolutely something I want to pick up on with you about the mental side of things in a little bit. Do you still have Sure. the same passion, would you say? Has your passion evolved as you have evolved?
That is such a good question. I genuinely believe, like all of us, my alarm clock goes off a little before 4 in the morning every day, and there is not, I'm sure, I wouldn't be normal if I was like, some days, I'm sleepy. I would love to press snooze, but something gets me out of bed, and it's that internal drive that I've had. And I'm not saying we all have it. I'm not saying it's just me, but I mean, I've had this instilled in me since I was like 10. I've just always been in sport. My parents threw me in sport, went from a very young age. I played sport in college, and I just always have been involved in that life. And it's what shaped me. It's defined my being of who I am and everything. And I really enjoy it. And so that's why I feel like privileged. People say that and it sounds so cliche, but that's what's driven me to there of those 60 Ironman. First of all, I have not finished 4, and those 4 that I haven't finished, I have physically passed out, because the other ones I will crawl to the line if I have to, because it's really, and I'm not trying to be like cheesy or corny, but it is a privilege to get to do this. There's people out there that would dream of being in our shoes, getting to swim, bike, and run for a living.
What about, you just mentioned there about you would do anything to cross the line of mm-hmm. an Ironman. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have seen at Kona a couple of times.
Yeah.
You have absolutely struggled on that marathon, and you've been walking yep. that marathon.
Yep.
What's kind of going yep. through your mind at that point when sure. you're in that position?
Yeah, and I want to first announce that I respect people who make the business decision not to finish if they are walking like I was. I guess it's honestly, Helen, it's my 9 years as an age grouper, or almost 10, is I started as an age grouper. I was racing in that capacity for many years, and I know what it takes to balance, full-time job and life and family and friends and all of that whilst doing this sport. And I wanted to honor the finish line and it's no secret. I've never had a good Kona. Just when I thought it was going to be good this year, I was injured. And so it was just like, finally I figured out how to manage the elements, but then I was still walking this year, and that was just what was meant to be. And I felt like, we all want to start what we finish, we all want to finish what we start. And that was my mindset. It's like age groupers, they, and I guess here's the deal, is they wait their whole year to do one Ironman. We have this privilege of being able to, pay a fee, and we can race as many as we want, go in and out of them as many as we want. Well, I promise you, those that are towing the line for Kona, they have put all their eggs in one basket. And so to do well at that race, and they, I'm sure, and I don't, this is another, aside from luck, another word I don't like to use much is sacrifice, but I'm certain that age groupers who are managing life outside a triathlon have had to sacrifice a lot to get there. So I wanted to do my part, I guess, to just finish. And if that meant walking while there, and they start 30 minutes behind us, so clearly if I'm walking, I'm ending up racing rather in the mix with the age groupers. And it was really specifically not this past year, but the year prior, when I walked most of the marathon, actually, I really got to interact with the people and, try to cheer them on, even though I was so sick. It's just, that's what we do. And that said, I say that in one light, if another pro decided that, it wasn't their day, they were having a bad day, maybe they got a penalty, they got a mechanical, and they decide to throw in the towel, that is okay. Like, they made the business decision. Maybe they wanted to enter an Ironman 2 weeks later, but I guess my point is that I always do Ironman in Arizona, whether I have a good Kona or a bad Kona, and walking wasn't going to really hurt me in that process, and I wanted to walk jog to get to that line. No matter if you're in, you have 17 hours to do it. So if I'm coming in at 12 and a half because I'm walking there, you're still honoring the people who are out there from 12 and a half to 17 hours.
I think that says a lot about you as a person, Meredith.
Well, thank you, but I'm not, and a lot of people do it. I just mine always happens to be in Kona on the biggest stage. And on, to be honest, Helen, I felt like 2 years ago when I finished, and I get teary even talking about it, but I felt like I got more recognition than I had for winning it. And I didn't mean for that to happen. I like genuinely just was doing what I finishing when I started. And so I just felt like, I'm like, you guys don't need to like say thank you or give me any props for that. I just wanted to genuinely honor the finish line.
When you were at that point and walking, is there, you know, like in the run up to Kona, you're in that mental zone. In the swim, you would have been completely in that zone, thinking about the process, all that kind of stuff. And then when you take that first step walking, do you come out of that zone a little bit, and actually are you able to almost enjoy it a tiny bit more?
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. You know, and I'll use the last 2 years when I've walked for two completely different reasons, but not this past year, but the year before. I thought it was going to be a great day. I was ready to go. And I mean, what great day means for me, like I've never at the farthest we've done in Kona was seventh, and I think I was in second at one point, and I just like was hanging on the Queen K on the last, you know, 5K of the race. I still was not like mentally, I was like so far gone and physically. And at that point I was like, gosh, we need to figure out what the salt water, why you get so sick and everything. Whenever you come to this island, it's like the island just, I get eaten alive by it. And so fast forward to 2 years ago, when I walked, I literally went into that ocean, one athlete, and I came out another. I literally had zero power from the start. So it was no surprise, just to answer your question, when I got off the bike that I was going to be walking the marathon. I mean, my bike was an hour slower basically than it was this past year even. Mm-hmm. So I spent the following year, figuring out what makes me so sick in this Kona. And it's funny, how can that happen? Can you be allergic to Kona? I don't even understand. Yeah, it's hot. Yeah, it's humid. Yeah, no. It literally frustrated my entire team, myself the most, you know, because you're the technician. I'm the technician. I don't like using I, me, or my very much in this whole job. It's very much we, us, and our. But my point is that me, the technician, failed. Like the team had us set up for success, and I failed. Out there, and I needed to figure out what is triggering me to fail, because you're physically ready. I'd slept more than I've ever slept. I've eaten, you know, at the right times, and I, you know, thought everything was going to be great, and then boom, it wasn't. And so I spent the next, it's funny, because if you look at that, then I think 6 weeks later, I raced Ironman Arizona in an 8:44, you know? So it's like, what is the difference? Is it the elements? And so my point of saying that is, I did a ton of testing. I went to a local doctor and tons of blood work. And it's funny, and I'm going to kind of fast forward so I don't bore people to tears, but I found out I had mercury poisoning, which is crazy, like highest level of it. And don't feel sorry for me. I did it to myself. I mean, I live in Northern California. I ate a ton of fish all the time, lots of tuna.
Yeah.
But it was causing me to be so sick. And then you throw me in salt water and you throw me in the heat, and my adrenals, my kidneys were just like, forget it. This is, we can't do it, you know? And so it's funny, it's January 18th. I have physically not eaten one bite of fish in a year and 2 weeks. I literally had to go cold turkey. And so between that and then hooking up with Red Bull is obviously one of my main sponsors. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of testing with them to figure out, you know, my hydration levels of, it has nothing to do with Red Bull, the product, but I do incorporate that with water into my life, but that's a separate thing. This is more testing of my kidneys and my lactate and all that good stuff to figure out how much sweat I'm losing, how much sodium I'm losing. And then I went to Daryl Griffiths from Shots Nutrition, and, you know, we kind of dialed everything in forms of how I'm going to get my calories out there on the road. And we eliminated fructose within because let me tell you, I eat sugar when I'm like a normal person. I mean, out there on the roads, when you're racing, you've got to limit that and have the proper amount of sodium. And so between the mercury and then uniting with Daryl and then my Red Bull testing, we kind of figured out a plan. So then you fast and everything was going well. I was feeling great. I was training in the heat. Yay. Okay. And now let's fast forward to 2016 Kona. I got out of the water and I was the same person. It was like, what's funny about it is I was most concerned about the swim for Kona. Like physically, I felt prepared in the bike and run. And sure, I was coming off a very bad injury when I told you earlier I had to get out of Roth. I couldn't do World 70.3 in Australia. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do try for a 5-peat at Vineman 70.3. It was my injury happened pretty much around Ironman New Zealand last year. And I spent 2016 injured. Mm-hmm. I got very fortunate winning New Zealand in March and it went downhill from there and I had to take some time, July and August. And then I tried to build and prep for Kona and I wasn't ready because I got out of that water and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're first out of the water. This is a small miracle. I did not think that. And when I say first out of the water, okay, it's by half a second. Like basically 10 of us should have got first out of the water. For some reason, I just pranced out earlier. It's ridiculous. We all should get that title anyways. But then I got on the bike and something was just like triggered out there in my leg. It was, but my head, like my normally I'm so messed up by the time I return from Javi that I can't even like speak. I'm like done. My whole kit is all salty. Mentally, I'm just gone. Well, that wasn't the case this year. I'm like, I'm all right. I was riding with Mary Beth and Bella. We were having great camaraderie out there. And I get off the bike. I think came off the bike third, fourth, fifth. We were all in a little pack there. And I take one step. And I had known, like, gosh, it really hurts. Can I run? And then I started to run. And I looked down at my watch. And, you know, for me, and I'm no Rinny, I would love to run seven, around 7 minutes. I know you all do Ks. To run 7-minute miles, though, or just under for someone like me, that's a 3-hour marathon.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, I look down at my watch. I'm going like 9:20, like, oh. Because I'm in so much pain. I'm like, oh my gosh, why? Everything we were like, I knew I was starting it maybe at like a 2 out of 10, but I didn't think I'd go straight to like a 9 out of 10 pain level. So yeah, that's when I made the decision. You know, I'm going to run. I actually in the energy lab. This is a funny side story. Leanda came up on me on the Queen K, and you know, she's a good friend of mine, and she goes, "We're run." I'm like, "I'll try to run with you as long as I can, and then I need to walk to give my hamstring a break." And she said, "Can you believe I effing won this one year?" I just love her to death. I was like, yes, I can believe it. Now keep going. And she finished like a champ that she is. And I reminded her, you are a world champion, double. She just, you know, made me laugh. And when I got to my Advil, or rather my pain meds in the energy lab, I was able to jog the way home. But, you know, that's our sport. And honestly, Helen, people think I'm dumb, and I'm okay with that. They think it's stupid that I was vulnerable and put myself out there to fail. But that's how I roll. I'm not afraid of failure. We all fail. It's what we do with that failure later. I've failed in the past. I'll fail in the future. That's just the way of the world. And I guess, and this is like I've always said this, is we like can never let success get to our head, but we can't let failure get to our hearts. And that is so important, not only in sport, but in life. Whether it's a bad meeting at work or something in your personal life, like you just can't let it define you. And so we tried to pick ourselves up. And the let me tell you, the promising side, though, of Kona was, mm-hmm. as terrible as it was, I mean, I basically got last place, right? Is that, oh my gosh, my head, I was with it. Like I was actually present. I was like, I can talk. I didn't even think about the heat. Let me announce, that was the first time like ever. I mean, sure, I was hot. It was windy, but it wasn't my focus. In prior years, I'm like, it's death out here, you know? So I props to Daryl and Red Bull and my local doctor who figured out my drama. And so then I got to Arizona and I was like, oh my gosh, okay, Arizona is my jam. Like, for some reason, I can't go in an organic saltwater ocean and feel like myself, but I can go in a man-made lake with, like, dead animals in it, and I feel great. And, yeah, and Arizona worked out. I had to give up. Another race I had to give up was Island House Try, and I just, you know, once again, I don't use that sacrifice, but there's no way. Like, if I can't even run Ironman pace, how am I going to run?
Struggle against Gwen.
Yeah, like, please, all of those gals. There's no way. And so I had to give that race up and focus on Arizona. And, you know, I kind of had a replay of Kona at Arizona. When I got off the bike, I was like, it still hurts. It still hurts. But I looked down at my watch, and I was like, all right, well, you're going 640 pace. How long can you withstand the pain? And then I swear, Helen, like, this goes back to how people say you shouldn't even start the race if you're, like, injured, or if you, but, like, we all should use races. Not everyone's different. I use races to find out, sure, where I am in fitness, but where I am in injury. And honestly, I think Arizona, and then backing it up with Taupo half, like, I genuinely think it helped heal my injury, because at mile 18 of Arizona, I was like, well, I'm numb all around, and, you know, it ended up being a good day for us, and it was worth it. And I wasn't worse after the race, and if anything, I feel like my injury got a little bit better. So it's very strange how that works, but sometimes I think we need to test it. Sometimes it works out, and sometimes it fails, like it did for me in Kona. And that went on way too long. I'm sorry.
No. I was going to say that I have heard that before, that I remember Rob, who we do the podcast together, he had the same issue, and I think he went and ran on it, and it was, he did something, and it was all fine, and he was like, how the heck did that happen? So, yeah.
It's so weird, isn't it? The body is so trippy, I swear. It is. It drives me nuts, and that one time, and then I hate it the next day, and then the next day I'm like, yes, you can be resilient.
It's amazing. Let's touch on the mental side of things then, because I know one of the listeners, Neil, who had got in touch, and he said that he was out running yesterday in the sun, probably not yesterday because it's not been particularly sunny here, and letting my mind drift. It dawned upon me that all the running, biking and swimming in the world doesn't prepare you for the mental anguish of the last 10 miles of an Ironman. Using whatever trick you can, you must divert attention from the burning legs and lungs and push on through. So, do you have any, like, what mental tactics do you use?
So, my one as of late, I'd say in my older years as I've learned, but and I can give you one from where I was like, 21 and 22 is when you're young and vibrant. You almost don't even get to that dark goth place. But I remember I definitely did my first Ironman especially. But I think you have vibrancy there as being so young and youth. But in my past 10 years, I promise you that what I think about first when I'm in the goth, you know, dungeon of doom out there is I think about, I kind of touched on this before, but I genuinely think about those who cannot, whether it's a training partner who got injured and can't be there, someone, you know, a fellow competitor sick. Like, I don't wish that on anyone. I want everyone to start out healthy and give it what they got, because if you win a race, you want to win off of good merit and, you know, good racing. And so I guess when I'm in that pocket of doom, I'm thinking about those two that would want to be in our shoes and, like, basically suck it up, Chuck, you get going. And because a lot of people would want to feel what you feel right now. And so I'm really adamant about that, because I know too what it's like to not be able to be out there when you want to be. And I've had peers and colleagues, right, that race that have had to take, you know, a year or a year and a half off because they're injured. I think of Helly Fredrickson or Lindsey Corbin, you know, like, they would dream of being, you know, when they were injured in previous years. And I think of, my God, they would, like, love to be out here right now. So quit your complaining, quit your whining, and start running or whatever it is, and eat more. Like, I eat, you can tell Neil, grab some calories, grab some hydration, and get going.
What about those mornings when you just don't want to move from under that duvet, even if your alarm's going beep, 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 at 4 a.m.? What about those
ones? It was funny. I was kind of just asked this question, like, about, you know, what do you do to make, like, if you feel that way. Well, there's two things I think I said, and because it's in our sport, as you well know, and in life, for people, even you have to be organized. So, like, how much more gusto would you have if you knew, oh my gosh, my suit's already laid out, my bags are all packed, I already have my bottles made in the fridge, I've got my snack for after, I'm like, my coffee is ready for me to press the button, right? Whatever. So, like, I'm all about organization. Like, that is key. Like, and even my husband, before we have dinner, I hear, did you pack yet for tomorrow? Because that means, like, he knows it's going to take me a little bit, and just to do it so we can watch our show and have dinner and I'm not fiddling around with it later. So, point is, because who at that time in the morning wants to, like, fill bottles and, like, pack their clothes, and then you're bound to forget something, right? So lay it all out the night before. That was number one. And the second thing is of most important, as I have in three different areas of my place, and it's not even a saying, it's just like a few words that I put. I have it in three places in my life. It's on my alarm clock, on my refrigerator, and on where I brush my teeth, like just in the corner of a mirror. You can barely see it. And it just says, or rather, you can see it, but like if we have guests, I can easily take it down so it's not annoyingly weird. But it says, remember what you feel like after. And that's all. It's just, I had it honestly in high school. I'd run 10 miles before school. Just like that was my like feel good wake up time, think about life, plan your to-do list, whatever it is, and then I'd go to school. And I have it in those three places still at 38 years old. Just remember what you feel like after. It's because it's painful at that moment to get up when you want to stay cozy, but then once your heart gets going and you have a purpose and you're you know, for me, it's my job and livelihood too, and I enjoy it, but I know that when I get up and do it, I'm going to be better for it later, or better in that race. And you do better in racing, you're able to, have more lucrative life in triathlon. And so that doesn't mean that there's days I also have a luxury of, if I wanted to train at 9 a.m., I could. But I also have training partners that have full-time jobs and they need to train early, and I want to train with them. So remember what you feel like after, and that always gets me out of bed no matter what.
I love that tip. I'm going to take that one to bed with me tonight.
Slap it on your, like, when you open one eye in the morning, it's like, remember what you feel like after. Oh yes, get up. Totally.
So when you were like a teenager and, you know, late teens, obviously doing lots of sport at that point, did you think, I want to be a professional sports person?
You know what? I didn't know it was like, gosh, I always dreamed of being a professional athlete, whatever sport I could muster. I grew up playing soccer. I grew up swimming. And it's funny, I went to a high school that didn't have soccer, but it had field hockey. So I had to switch sports to field hockey, still swam, but then in college I ended up getting a scholarship for field hockey, which was awesome, and I chose that specifically over swimming because it was more teamy, and I found swimming, which I loved, but it's so individual, and I kind of knew that after college, unless I played field hockey for the Olympic team, and I didn't, there's no real pro field hockey life, and I wasn't good enough nor did I want to be, that wasn't my thing, to be, you know, a pro swimmer, if you will. And so then when I was telling you I was 21 and I, you know, I had heard of Ironman, I had seen Kona on TV. I'm like, you know what, there was a local Ironman close to where I live in Ohio. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And that's when I bought the bike. And I literally, it was actually very fun, but like to think of 8 hours on the bike, your first one, I never been on a tri bike before, like aero position, what? So it was like, as I was like, ooh, you know, go like kind of swerving in and out in aero position, my first race, I was like, maybe I should have started with an Olympic distance, but that's okay. So I always knew that I wanted to be like an athlete. I just didn't know how I could do it. And then even when I started that back when I was 21, never in a million years did I think I could make my hobby my job. It became my hobby, and then it got more and more my hobby, and then it was like 9 years, I was like, oh my gosh, I can do this pro thing now with it. But that, so then I did, but I never really felt like a true pro, because my first 2 years of being a professional, I had a full-time job as well. And so it never really felt official until you omitted that, you know, say 60-hour work week, and could solely, like, I just remember swimming in the pool at like 9 a.m. on a weekday and being like, this is so trippy. What's happening here? Just, you know what I mean? It's just,
yeah.
It's like, it never felt official until then. And now here we are 8 years later. And it's like, you know, it's funny, I can't imagine what I would do if I had those 60 hours back, but you adjust as needed, and you have to set the foundation up and everything. So, you know, I'm very thankful that at 38, I can still do it. And I hope to be able to do it into my 40s. Yeah.
That's awesome. And how did you used to have like three jobs at once while you were training still as an age
group? So good to, yeah, you're so good to remember. But like, some, you know, understandably, and you know, we are coming out with a Life of Triathlete business side book coming out, because understandably, pros, they think that once they can get their pro card, they're suddenly going to make, you know, 100 grand a year or whatever it is, and they're good to go, they're ready. But unfortunately, in our sport, we're all squirrels trying to get a nut with sponsors and everything. It just doesn't work like that. So when I say you got to set the foundation up, you know, and this is what we learned and what we've written down, and that's why I wanted to share it with future pros, is that, yeah, I worked in finance at RBC Capital Markets, and then I also coached 12 people, and 12 is, by the way, coaches are awesome. Like 12 was my absolute max, just because it's, you know, understandably it's a lot. And then I taught cycling classes at an indoor indoor cycling studio. And so then I was a pro triathlete. So I was nutty though with those four things. And then you have to take a bird's eye view at your life and be like, all right, something's got to go. And so I dwindled the big thing first, which was the finance, right? The RBC, that went away. But for a good other year and a half or so, I was coaching, teaching, and then pro triathlons.
Do you ever miss the corporate world in the sense that you had been working in it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think, what if?
Great question, Helen. Yeah, you know what? I don't even blink about it, because it was such a big part of my life for so long, and I loved it. And particularly, I loved my team, my colleagues, my boss. Oh my gosh, I still think about them and miss them. But hopefully, even though I know I'd have to go back down many levels in tier, if the time ever came where I got the urge to come back, you know, in years down the road, I could. But honestly, now that I've been so involved heavily in the triathlon industry for so long, I can't imagine not being in it in some capacity going forward, and now certainly.
You mentioned coaching, and you were with Matt Dixon for most of your pro career, weren't you? But you sort of left him, what, last year? So how is your coaching working now? And what did you learn from Matt?
Oh, so much. You know, I was with Matt for nearly a decade, most of my age group years. And then I guess I've been without him just about 2 years or a year and a half, give or take. He taught me so much. I mean, he knows that our brand is balance, and it's always been. And what I loved and appreciate about Matt is that he understood that I wasn't going to miss a girl's dinner, and I wasn't going to miss my best friend's 2-year-old birthday party, and I wasn't going to miss a wedding. No race, no championship, no workout is worth me losing my balance. And there's very little things that I'm stubborn at. I'm not a stubborn person by any stretch, but that is one thing that I will not let anything get in my way of my life balance, my date nights with my husband, or that glass of wine or two. I don't think that, and it might cost me a lot of stuff down in my job, but I feel like you can still do what you love with hard work and dedication, and I'm very passionate about my job, but I will find ways to get it in where I don't miss out on life things, because that's of most important to me. Those are the people that when I'm 70, I'm still going to have, and they're still going to be in my life. So I understand that's not being a pro's pro, to be honest. People are like, wait, are you racing? Yeah, I got an Ironman. I am just efficient in my training right now. I'm 38. I know what to do. I have the tribe, you know. Leaving Matt was very hard for me. It's still hard for me, to be honest. I still think about my time with Purple Patch and, you know, our 10 years together. It's just we were two businesses going separate directions. And we left amicably, and he's still like a family member. And I will ping him if I ever need advice or anything. But he's always going to be hold a very special, you know, place in my heart and in my career. That's for sure. Since I have left the Purple Patch umbrella, basically Kate has always been my strength coach for the past, like, I don't know, 8 years. But then I've asked her the last year and a half plus since I left Matt to just monitor the bike. And she is, and she's my strength coach. So I see her a lot during the week, and she knows what makes me suffer and what makes me tick. And so that's been really great. So she's like my strength bike person. And then Jerry Rodriguez out of Tower 26 in LA.
Yep.
I've always known him, even when I was with Purple Patch, I've always worked with him. So he dials in the swimming and sends me my key sessions. I'm a pretty easy swim person to coach because I just need three interval sessions a week, which Jerry sends me in the other 3 days. And this is another thing that I really appreciated about Matt is that ever since I was in high school, when I told you, yeah, I run 10 miles before school, super easy, nothing dramatic. But like, yeah. I'm like that with swimming. Like I can swim, like I like what we call MBK swims, and all my close people, like at least Hillary Biscay, who's one of my best friends, she's like the only other person in this world who would like do these with me, like 5-10K, just straight swimming. We're talking like back and forth. It's just like my yoga time. I just like feel very at peace and chill. It's just like my chi enriching time.
Other people would probably get that like in a run or something. So I yeah. totally get what
you get what I mean, right?
Yeah, you just happen invasive. To have it in a pool.
Yeah, yeah. So Jerry's been great. And then I just started working with Sean Jefferson, who I have been eyeing for so long just to try to work with, but I never felt comfortable asking him because I just couldn't properly run train last year. I was just trying to get by on with my injury. And he works with Holly Lawrence, and she and I are close, and I said, Holly, I need some Ironman training help, and I've been watching Sean. You okay with this? She said, Mayor, of course. So Sean, now that I can properly run train, he's been great the last few weeks. Like we're all trying for that best marathon within an Ironman, and so I'm you know, hopeful between his expertise and knowledge, I can try to do the best I can now that I feel so much better. It's amazing how much better we can run when we are, you know, our body's behaving, if you will.
You mentioned the strength and conditioning. Did you do much
yeah.
when you were an age grouper? And what does a sort of typical session for you look like? Did you do, yeah. what, a couple a week?
Yep. So I'm about 75 minutes with Kate twice a week. And then I do core on my own another, 30, 40 minutes a third time a week. Let me answer your question about an age grouper. That was one thing, and I bet you most age groupers will say the same. That's the one. And if I, by the way, if I were age grouper now, I'd think differently. But that's the first thing as an age grouper, understandably, to go because, right, you want to be so efficient in your day and in your life. And it's like, shoot, I need to get this 30-minute run in. Forget strength training. Even with Rich, he's just like is so busy. He's a CEO. It's like he physically does not have time to get, you know, he's a father of two, a husband. It's like, how do you find that 2 hours a week or whatever it is to get it in? And so to answer your question, right, when I was an age grouper, that was minimal. I did like core a couple times a week for like 15 minutes. And then I think towards the tail end of it, obviously once I met Kate, so that was probably 5-6 years ago, I've been religious about it because I really do believe, I mean, that it prevents injury and it obviously keeps, we do a lot of stability and mobility and a lot of balancing and, you know, engaging the core and the hip flexors. And for me right now, my butt cheeks, just to keep the hamstrings healthy and all that stuff. So it's marquee. So I would rather now give up that run if I need to get the strength in.
Yeah. And that is where it's almost that difficult dilemma, isn't it? Because as you say, you see it in your training plan, you're thinking, oh, I've got to do that run. Yeah. But actually, yeah. sort of longer term, is it more beneficial, you know?
Yep, absolutely. And it is. The answer is it is. As we all know, it's just people. It's so easy to give up, right? Because I got to get this bike in or this in. So, yeah, making the time is the hardest part for people, understandably.
Totally. Right. Fast forward a couple of weeks. You're going to be in New Zealand.
Yes, we can't wait. We're giddy little schoolgirls. We're excited to go back. Gosh, I mean, that will be... Erin and I were laughing because it'll be our... I've raced in Taupo 5 times for the full and twice for the half. So 7 times in Taupo, but I've done Auckland twice too. So 9 times to North Island. And we've never been to South Island. That's like terrible, right? So we're going to venture out to South Island after the race this year finally and try to scope out, you know, just see what we always hear about. So I look forward to that. But we're excited to get back to our home away from home. And we keep saying, we got to look for real estate this time. Someday.
Could you see yourself living out there one day?
I don't think living, but we'd love to take, just because our home is America. Our family and friends are here. But I can see us having some form of like cost-effective vacation home for our family and friends, just to show them what we love so much about New Zealand, because we've really embraced the culture. And specifically, Erin loves, we go to this fly fishing lodge after the race the past several times called Porinui, and just the staff there. It's, you know, Erin is my Sherpa all week, to, you know, help get prepared for the Ironman, and then I go to the fly fishing lodge and try to help him, which is consists of me sipping coffee and chilling while he's fly fish, like so strenuous. So anyway, we love it there.
Why have you been so successful there?
Let's talk about the course first. It's a lake swim. It's cooler weather. You know, I train and live in the Bay Area, where it's, you know, between, I don't know, 10 and 15 degrees basically, or whatnot, Celsius. And so I'm used to it being cooler. I'm not saying Taupo can't get hot. It can, but regardless, the lake is always cool. And I find when you start out cool with a wetsuit on, and you're like the rest of the day, even if it gets into the 20s or high 20s, you're okay by the time, you know, the marathon hits. So the weather has always been favorable, minus my first year when, there was like torrential monsoons there. So that can happen around March too. So we have to expect that. But then the bike course just seems to, like, it can be windy and it's a power course. And because I do so much indoor training to be efficient and keep that life balance, and because I genuinely enjoy it and I feel like it's safer, it's, you know, power-based, efficient, effective. And I was like that even when I worked full time. Literally, that's how I got into indoor cycling. And even when I became a pro, I kind of kept that. And that's been really helpful for courses like even Kona in New Zealand. Like, they're just the not so, there's no, it's not technical. It's like, it's pretty, there's no crazy downhills. There's like one uphill, and it's not even a big deal. But I actually like hills because we train out on hills when I am outside. But, and then the run is 3 loops, right? You get all the energy from the crowd. And so the course is obviously a big part of it, but also it just, you know, when our toes touch in Auckland, you just instantly feel this good energy, and the people help make it that way. We have our New Zealand family, and we have our favorite cafes and our favorite places to eat. I stay in the same room, literally in the same hotel room every time I go. It's just like, you know, everybody, it seems like family. And I think that's why we have been so successful. And honestly, and I just said how much I don't like the word luck, but you need a little bit of luck with it. And we've been lucky in terms of, and I don't want to jinx it, so I'm going to knock on wood, but you just want to have good technical luck out there too.
Yeah, totally. And what would it mean to you to get that 6th win?
Yes. Oh, man. So much, because a win is a win no matter where, and it doesn't have to be a certain time in a row or anything like that. But because Taupo, I think, is so special to us, to go back for your 6th time and to try to snag it would mean a lot to me. You know, I'm at the pointy end of my career, right? I'm 38. We've been going since I was 30. I think I was 31 at the time, or whatever. It's just been a huge part of our career, and it would mean a lot to not only to me, and I'll say the word me, but to us and to our family, and just are experiencing to be able to talk about Taupo in that light when I'm 70 years old. It would be really fun.
Do you think it'll be your last Ironman New Zealand?
Oh, no, definitely not. Nope. Until these legs won't stop working, I'll be like the old creaky woman. Like, I don't plan on not doing it anytime soon. So I really hope to be there a handful more times as a professional, for sure.
Love it. Right, I have three short questions, which I want short answers from. And then
yep.
I've got a couple of friends who... we're going to try, and they've got questions for you. So, right, in your book, Meredith, so in Life a Triathlete, you say about race schedules and you say about planning. You say here, do not forget to plan around your important dates on your calendar, which might include your wedding. Do you know a pro who's missed their own wedding?
No, I know. I was being facetious there. Like, hey guys, let's make sure we plan around our weddings, right? I've just seen, you know, you don't want to miss the important things. I kind of went into that, right?
I liked it. It made me giggle. Right. You said that, you know, as pros on your blog, you said we get tired and cranky and overwhelmed as well. What makes you cranky?
Very minimal. I should think more off the cuff. How about I'll start with what doesn't make me cranky but should is that when I have a web workout, when I use the word web means why even bother, like where you're just crap. You're like, I'm terrible today. I have no power. I have nothing. And I've seen, understandably, people that they just get, you know, it's like a bad business meeting. They stink, you know. They're like, it just didn't go well. And so, but I honestly am like, well, that stunk, on to the next day. And so I don't let that get me cranky.
Right, final quick fire last question is, when is your next book in the Life of a Triathlete manuals coming out?
Yeah, I would love to get, Life of a Triathlete, the business edition, out by before Kona this year, 2017.
Excellent. And I'm going to say, if anyone has not yet got Life of a Triathlete race preparation, it's blooming brilliant. So Google it and get on it because it's awesome. Right, Meredith, we have a question here.
Hi, MBK. It's Sid. You're coming up to your 60th Ironman in March this year at Ironman New Zealand, which is pretty amazing and fantastic. So congratulations on that. Is there a race around the world that you haven't yet done that you'd still like to do?
I love that was Sid, by the way. Yes, Sid. I can't wait to see her in March before we know it. But Roth. Roth has always been a bucket list. As I mentioned, I missed it in 2016. And so I hope to get to Roth someday, speaking of racing in Europe. So that would be an answer to that question. And speaking of Roth, Sid crushed Roth last year. I had thought I was going to get to see her there, but then couldn't. So I hope to maybe she'll do it again this year, too. And I'll see her at a couple Ironman then.
Nice one. Okay, and then we have another question, so let's try this one.
Meredith, it's Chrissy Wellington. I've just got a little question for you, and that's, do you want your underwear back?
I love Chrissy. She has been such a mentor to me over the years, just with everything, such a good soul. I do not, Chrissy. You keep those bad boys just because, you know, it's my gift to you. She does not need to return them.
Okay, you're going to now have to explain the story. Why the heck has Chrissy Wellington got your underwear?
Oh, God, I think we were at this Challenge Athlete Foundation event down in San Diego one year, and that's when we were really bonded and got to hang out a lot and really talk, and I think she forgot. Yeah, she forgot hers, and I was like, I got extra, girl. They're clean. You can have them. And I sent them on their way with her.
What would your feelings be if she actually still wore them now?
I would be okay with it because, you know, I am very cognizant of what underwear I buy, and they're durable and sturdy and they're comfy. So she might still have them. I like full butts. I mean, none of this thong stuff. We're athletes. We need to be comfy. And they're still cute and feminine, so she should keep them and wear them still. Totally.
Oh, Meredith, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, and thanks to all the listeners. Hopefully it wasn't like watching paint dry of boredom, but I really appreciate you having me, and And thank you, Helen.
And that just about brings us to the end of today's Christmas special. I hope you're all really well. I hope Santa Claus brought you what you hoped for Christmas. And on behalf of Hels and I'd like to wish you all a really fantastic, peaceful and filled with love Christmas and New Year. I hope you get out and get some fun training stuff done and spend some time with your families. And until next week, you've been listening to the Oxygenetic Triathlon Podcast. I'm Coach Rob Wilby. Get out there and get some training done over the holidays. Speak to you all soon. See ya.